Let's start our second half with Jen Christensen.
Woo! Yeah, thanks. It took a lot for me to tell them that, so thank you. Everybody knows I like audiobooks that are romances. I'm gonna bring us down a notch. I'm gonna be really vulnerable with all of you. I'm gonna tell you a story about me and my husband. In 2006, we decided to move from Alaska and move down to Washington. We found our dream jobs. He was a motorcycle mechanic for Harley Davidson, and I worked quietly for child support for 10 years. We loved what we were doing. We had only been married for a few years. It was heaven for us. One day I got a phone call, the phone call that nobody ever wants to have. Eric was in an accident. Somebody hit him. He's going to Harborview. If you know anything about Harborview, that's where you go to live. That's not where you go to get treatments, where you go to live. I had no idea where I was at. Nobody could tell me anything about him. They said he was breathing on his own. Okay, so I find my way up into Harborview, and it's in roads and roads and roads in Seattle. It's a craziness to find. I get there. I'm running into the emergency department, and I get there, and I say, can somebody tell me, what about Eric? Eric Christensen, anybody can tell me anything? Ma'am, we can't tell anything. You know, sit down. Just go sit down. And I was like, why can't you tell me anything? Well, you can't tell me anything. So I was that person that everybody never wants to be. I started banging on the locked doors. Let me in, I need to see. I started screaming. I have no medical experience. I pass out at the sight of blood. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. Finally, someone comes out and they say, Jen, he has a breathing tube. And we can't tell you anything else. Why not? Because we don't know. They finally let me in. And inside this emergency department, there's no pretty doors. There's no center station. It was just bays of stretchers and curtains. Blood everywhere, because it's Harborview. And I see at the end of the hallway is my husband on a gurney. Tubes coming everywhere, blood everywhere, collar on. I'm like, I don't even know what is this? I start walking, I can feel my knees start to give. Someone catches me. They usher me to his side of his gurney. I'm just like staring at him. I'm like, is he even breathing? Because I don't understand. There is a man on the other side of the gurney. And he grabs my hand and he puts it on his chest. And he says, stop. I want you to touch him. Talk to him. Tell him you love him. I will move around you. Don't move. I can tell you he had blue eyes, blonde hair, and an Australian accent. I couldn't tell you anything else. I never saw him again. We make it up to the ICU. It's the overflow ICU. And this overflow ICU sits right next to the cafeteria. Stale coffee, bad food. It's 5 o'clock at night. Like, really? You're gonna put me in a cafeteria ICU? It didn't make any sense to me. There was curtains everywhere, but roll away beds. There was not like a typical ICU. There was one room with a door, and that's the room he got. They roll us in there, me not knowing anything. This little blonde nurse was like, it's okay. Let's get him tucked in. They give me a little roll away doctor stool, and I sat on that for 14 hours and didn't move. They tried to kick me out. They rolled me to the side. I rolled right back. I didn't know what he was doing. Next day, he gets extubated. We go home. We find out that he has a broken jaw in two places. What had happened was some kid cut in front of him, and he hit the car of the door, and he flew 30 feet over. So he hit the windshield and all the things in it. Landed on his right side. Brand new helmet. If he hadn't had that helmet, he would have died. He has a traumatic brain injury, broken jaw, damaged shoulder, hip, knees, all the things. Okay, so we come back a couple days later, and we do surgery for his broken jaw. They have to stabilize it. Doc comes out and says, Jen, I'm really sorry. I nicked the back of his throat. He's gonna stay intubated. You have to stay here several more nights. Okay, so we roll back into the ICU, the same stinky cafeteria smelling ICU. And I'll be damned, it's the same room with a door. The same blonde nurse walks up to me and says, what the hell are you doing here? I was like, dude, I don't know. What are you doing here? And she's like, all right. And I just said, you know, I fucking wore makeup today. I thought I could go home. I thought it would be okay. And she goes, you look beautiful. I got you. I was floored. The kindness. Okay. We were there a couple of days. We ended up moving up to the trauma floor. The nurse that we had at night, she floated with us. I didn't understand what that meant when she says, I'm floating with you. I'm like, what does that mean? She stayed with us every night until we went home. I can't tell you either one of those nurses' names, but I can tell you that every time I think about them, my heart stops because they changed my life. Fast forward 4 years. Eric's finally back to work. He's doing okay. I'm like, what can I do with my life? Like, I love my job. I'm in my 30s. Everything's great. But I kept having this feeling that these nurses really impacted my life. If I can do something like that, what the hell am I doing collecting child support? I went back to school. I worked full-time, did night school. It took me 5.5 years to go through all the prereqs, the part-time nursing program, and I graduated in December of 2015 from ADN. Thank you. It was damn hard, because if you have somebody that you know that's been with a traumatic brain injury and all the things that go with that, especially a frontal one, the impulsivity, all the things that happens, your life is a disaster until they kind of work through it. He's here tonight, so he knows I'm talking about him, just so you know, okay? I go into the ICU that I had done my senior practicum in, and I love it. I'm in there 1 year. We get a call, Jen, Eric has cancer, oropharyngeal cancer. It's like cancer on the back of the tongue. He's stage 4, it's moved into his lymph nodes. Okay, what is his chances? 94%, he'll be good. All right, I take 3 months off of work, we go through chemo, radiation, all the things that go with it. I can't even explain to you the things that happen to a body from all the chemicals that they don't tell you about when they say, you'll be okay. 3 years after that, we're supposed to be in remission. We get a call. Sorry, Eric and Jen, your cancer's back, it's in your lungs. We have 2 to 5 years to live. What the, okay. All right, so we live our best life. But I kept reminding myself, why am I doing this? Why was I so fortunate to be able to help my husband and go through all these things that he's going through? Why am I even in nursing? I remember back to that one nurse that says, you look beautiful, I got you. What I equate it to is every patient I cared for, and now that I'm a leader, every nurse that I talk to, every family member that I talk to, I think about that moment. It's like a pebble dropping into a pond or a lake and the ripple effect. You have no idea what that ripple effect will do. I have touched hundreds of lives because of that one nurse. What is your ripple effect? I have my miracle. What's yours? Remember that pebble.